And now a word from our sponsors at Betterment. If you're listening to my show, you're looking for tips on how to work smarter, not harder. And let's be real, you're already working hard to earn your money, but how do you make sure that your money is working hard for you? Here's how. With a Betterment automated investment and savings app, your money will go to work. They've got technology that will provide you with advanced tools, and they're built to help maximize your returns, not to mention your time. They have expert-built portfolios of low-cost exchange-traded funds. You know I love those exchange-traded funds. There's automated investing technology, and as part of that, automated rebalancing. Many of you have been asking about rebalancing, and it sort of feels like a hard thing to do on your own. With Betterment, easy peasy. They do it for you. Visit Betterment.com to get started. Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own? Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Welcome to the Jill on Money Show. It's Thursday, April 25th, and we are here trying to help you make better financial decisions. We do that by encouraging you to go to our website, jillonmoney.com, and clicking the Contact Us button whenever an issue arises. And that issue can be your real life. It can be changing jobs. It can be downsizing, upsizing. It could be a birth, a death, a divorce, all those life events that always will trigger some sort of financial decision. And if you just need some calming down, maybe you're a little anxious about something, go there to jillonmoney.com and we'd be delighted to help you out. Now, don't forget, while you're on the website, there's so much stuff to do. You can sign up for the free weekly newsletter, comes out every Friday. You can check out our YouTube show called Jill on Money, powered by The Compound. If you also have a few bucks that are available, subscribe to Jill on Money Live. That is a service where you have access to quarterly live webinars and bonus video content, all for 35 bucks for the next 12 months. Kind of cool. All right, let's do some emails. This is from Jerry, who writes, oh boy, here we go. It's a big subject. It's the executor of a trust. And here is the issue. My wife is the executor of the family trust. Both parents passed away. Mother 11 months ago, which is in 2023, father in 2024. Combined income from the Social Security was below 30 grand. His Social Security was just 2 months of 24. House was paid for years, sold in 2023. Father had VA benefits, and there was some interest income. He was a great record keeper, except they can't find documentation about whether or not they filed taxes in 2022. So we're assuming he did not have to pay. I wouldn't assume that. You still have to file. He filed for a property tax refund. He did receive that. And they can't find any documentation for 2023. Okay, here are the questions. Do they have to file a state and federal tax return? If so, how do you find out if he filed, and how do you get to the 2023 1099 Social Security statement? Two, we were told to close out the state before the end of the year to avoid higher estate taxes. Three, do we have to file a return on the estate even though the total of the estate is under 270 grand? Here's the deal, Jerry. You need a lawyer, okay? You cannot do this yourself. The lawyer will guide you about your state rules. My guess is that you're going to have to file something. And even if you're under the estate tax minimum, you still have to actually go through a probate process And the state has to give you the official, yeah, this estate is closed. So, Jerry, number one thing, you need to get a lawyer to walk you through this process. Okay. All right. This is from Kim, who writes, "Dear Jill and Mark, I love your podcast and your books. I've learned so much from you both over the last couple of years. My question concerns a 529 account. We moved from Virginia, which has an amazing 529 program, to the state of Indiana. We've created 529 plans for two of our four children here in Indiana to take advantage of the tax benefits. However, we still have our old Virginia 529s. The fees are higher in our new state. Doesn't seem like a lot. We only have 15 grand in each child's Virginia 529, but I wonder if we should roll over our old accounts or just leave them be." I would roll them over. It is not, and maybe it's not a lot in terms of fee, but I'll tell you what it is. It's easier to manage, and I'm into ease. Ease is good. This is from Roger. "I've got two CDs at New York Community Bank, which of late has needed an infusion of money to stay afloat. I understand the money I have invested in the CDs is FDIC protected. However, should the bank go under, would the bank be allowed to give me only a percentage of my investment? As long as it's below the FDIC limit, then there is no problem. And if it's above it, I still probably think there's not a big problem because there's no way they're letting New York Community Bank go broke after they bailed out Silicon Valley Bank. But if you're really nervous, if you're above the FDIC limit, when one of those CDs comes due, you can roll it over and put it into a different bank. I like being under the limit, though." All right, this is from Alice. Subject: heavy on cash while waiting to build dream home. "Jill and Mark, I found your podcast about a year and a half ago, and I've been an avid listener ever since." Well, thank you, Alice. "We've saved up a bunch of cash for an eventual home build. Finding land we love has been the piece that's kept us from moving forward just yet. We're working with a great custom builder, and our current homework is pricing out the must-haves. They're expecting to spend, $700,000 to $850,000 on the new house, which includes the land, within the next 2 to 5 years. We are far from quick decision makers. We're going to hold out for the near-perfect lot new home build because this is our dream house. We live in the Midwest. I'm 42. I have about 2.5 years of extra income. It's coming to an end soon. And I'll have a lump sum of about $25,000 after taxes coming in the next month. My partner is 42, receives Social Security disability income of around $1,500 a month. I make about $125,000 a year, though this year it's going to jump to $200,000. We file taxes separately. We're not married, no kids. Current home worth $400,000. Outstanding mortgage balance of $125,000. Okay. We have paid off all the debt except the mortgage. I maxed out my 401k and backdoor Roth IRA in 22 and 23 and front-loaded most of my 401k in the first quarter of this year to continue a modest contribution in order to get my employer match and max out for 2024. The 2024 backdoor Roth is also accounted for. My retirement accounts have $185,000 pre-tax, $10,000 in Roth, $25,000 in a Roth IRA, $52,000 in a taxable brokerage account. I'll likely pick up more work in the next 6 to 12 months, but my savings rate is probably going to slow down. He does not have retirement savings in order to maintain his Medicaid coverage. Our current expense is $62,000 a year. The new house would bump our expenses up to $75,000 or $80,000 a year. My Social Security at full retirement age is projected to be $3,200 a month or $4,000 at age 70. No pension. Sad face. We've saved over $475,000 that's sitting in high-yield savings accounts and CDs. We're flexible on how much of that to put down toward the house. I also have $30,000 in I-bonds. My concern is having too much cash in high-yield savings because rates are going to go down later this year. It feels like too much cash compared to investments while we want to wait on finding land with an unknown timetable. All right. This is a long preamble to get to the question. Should I invest all or part of the $25,000 that's coming in or put it into a CD? Should I do a CD ladder across 5 years with most of the savings that are earmarked for the house or invest a portion of the cash? I don't love this house purchase. I got to be honest with you. It's a lot of money to tie up. And you have money, but not a ton. You have somebody who's never going to earn money going forward except you. $80,000 a year in expenses. I don't know.
I'm just curious how they saved nearly 500,000.
I mean, I don't know, because if their expenses are 62 grand a year, maybe he was working.
Yeah, that's the only thing I can think of. Maybe there's something coming in from him. I don't know.
Well, there's the only thing coming in right now is SSDI. The question is whether the other money he had, in other words, was the other money, was there money elsewhere that he had? I don't know. But they're 42 years old. They got a bunch of money. It's going to be a long life for her. I don't love this idea of the dream house, but if it sounds like you're kind of all in. So if that's the case, then I guess I would probably ladder up CDs 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And at least if you're going to have, let's see, how much is this house going to cost? We said $750,800. She's not going to qualify for a mortgage on her own salary.
But is the thinking they're going to put down, like they got 475, they're going to put that down and then the proceeds from the house that they currently have?
I guess so. They're going to want to own the house outright, I guess. So I guess it's okay. I like that cash, man. I wish I could just put it to work and stay in the house, but dare I dance on their dream. So I'll tell you what, if you sell the house and you can then use that to add to the purchase of your new dream home, then I would at least have like 275 in the CDs. And then I would try to invest 200 and with the 25 that's coming in. What do you think, Mark?
Yeah, I mean, it's such a big time frame here for the house, you know, 2 to 5 years. So, you know, if we're looking at 5 years, then I would put some of it to work.
Yeah. I mean, I just a little nervous with all that cash sitting around. I don't know. It's going to be interesting. I'd love to know more about like where that money came from. What else is going on in terms of, are they just freaked out about having a mortgage? And is this disability going to mean that the partner is going to need like care in the future? In which case I don't want all that money sucked into the house. You know, there's all these follow-up questions. I'm such a pain. All right. Timothy writes, I had to reboot through a costly corporate bankruptcy about 20 years ago. I was pretty much wiped out. Had tried to follow the advice of someone, and he said, more losers than winners. Okay, so here's what he has now. He's 68. He's got $500,000, and he wants to make 10% on his assets. More, of course, is better. No debt, owe nothing, live aboard a boat in Seattle. No way we could buy a house in the area. Looking for advice on relatively secure investments. I listen to your radio program and often think that a lot of the callers who have millions and are pretty savvy on finance, there may be a lot of folks in my boat. Get it, boat. Appreciate your thoughts. Timothy, you're not getting 10% on your money safe. You're not even going to get it risky. In fact, if I were looking at your investments right now, I'd like to know what we are hoping to accomplish with these investments. Are you pulling money out of this account? Are you still working? I don't know about what like the other pieces of this, but if you're seeking 10% return, you are probably hoping for the best, but you better prepare for the worst, because that would mean you're like 100% in equities. You're going to be on a crazy ride. So I don't think you should try to get 10%. I think that the best that you could do is, you know, over the next 10, 20, 30 years during your retirement, hopefully, that you would be making, 6%. That's what I would go for.
A lot of people, even some of the quote unquote experts, they plan using 10%.
That's crazy.
Nuts.
That is crazy. Absolutely crazy. Not worth it. All right. This is from somebody who I'm going to just call Eminem, and says, I'm afraid to come on the show. I live in a tiny community. Okay. Here's a question. Eminem says, I'm close to 55 years old. I'm a single parent. I have been for 15 years. I was formerly in the legal field. 5 years ago, I changed my life and I went into teaching. 2.5 years ago, I moved to a rural area. My daughter will be graduating from high school this year and has a 529 with approximately $20,000 in it and an additional $18,000 from savings. I will not be contributing any additional funds to her education. She can apply for scholarships or work. I'm not co-signing ever. Her father won't be helping. Okay. Here are some numbers. $108,000 in brokerage, $23,000 cash, IRA, $239,000, a Roth, $93,000, a school pension, a 403B at school of $4,800, emergency fund, $3,000. I'm working on this. I took two big trips and reduce the amount. I contribute $400 to my brokerage, $100 to the emergency fund each month. I'm going to increase the amount to my emergency fund soon. Okay. I do not expect to be part of my district's pension system due to my age. If I retire in the district, I may only have 10 or 12 years in the system, and I am told the calculation won't amount to much. The vesting period is 5 years. I've been in the district for 2. I hope to stay as long as possible, but at a minimum 5 to 6 years. Okay. I may move to a bigger city or district once my daughter graduates from college. I don't see my pay increasing in the rural district, but that will come with increased expenses, right? You move for more money, but of course the place you're moving to costs more. I do not plan to retire until age 67. If I ever do, I'll work as long as I'm able and I like doing my work. I make 45 grand a year. I'm scared that I made a bad career decision, but I love what I do. I work with at-risk teens. You know what, Eminem? I love this. You're in great shape, right?
And she loves what she does.
She loves what she does. So keep doing what you're doing and don't worry about moving somewhere else. You love what you do. Stay where you are. Stay where you are. You're putting money away. You'll get some money if, in terms of your pension. You know what? If you stay there for 10 or 12 years, so what? You're 55. What if you stay till you're 70? Maybe you'll have 15 years. Maybe you'll stay till you're 72. But you'll have pension. You'll have Social Security. And no, you did not make a mistake. And you're not going to be a bag lady. That was the end of the question. Will I be a bag lady? Mark, what's the answer? No to bag lady. We don't like that. I like that you like what you're doing. I think that's great. Really is. All right, gang, that is it. That is the program. You can subscribe to us on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your favorite podcast. Please leave us a rating and review wherever you listen. Everything we do lives on the JillOnMoney.com website. Just bookmark it. It's easier. Give us a holler if you've got a question, if you'd like to join us. All right, where are we, Mark? I don't have to do any business. Today's just a regular old outro. So please lift someone up, change your work, change your wealth, change your life. Thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Do you know a high schooler who is a natural leader and loves to give back to their community? The Leukemia and Lymphoma Society's Student Visionaries of the Year program might be the perfect opportunity. Forming strong teams to support them, Student Visionaries of the Year candidates fundraise for the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society in honor of a pediatric blood cancer survivor in their local community. This 7-week philanthropic leadership development program helps students gain valuable life skills like project management, communication, financial literacy, and entrepreneurship. Not to mention, it looks great on college applications. But most importantly, it's a chance for students to engage in meaningful work within their community and make a real impact on the lives of blood cancer patients and their families. Learn more about Student Visionaries of the Year or nominate a student at lls.org/students. That's lls.org/students.
I'm Bobby Finger.
And I'm Lindsay Weber.
Do you ever see a new face or name on your news feeds and say, who the heck is that?
Our podcast, Who Weekly, is everything you need to know about the celebrities you don't. Think of us as your cheat code to People Magazine, your glossary for Hollywood, a shortcut to understanding pop culture at large.
For the past 8 years, Who Weekly has been telling listeners everything they need to know about the celebrities they don't. The New Yorker says we spelunk deep into the demimonde with convivial delight. That's a direct quote.
Mostly, we're going to explain to you Irish star Barry Keoghan's sudden rise to fame and relationship with a not-so-under-the-radar pop princess named Sabrina.
The fake wedding Real Housewives star Cynthia Bailey had to promote a limo rental company.
And why all the Gen Zers you know are talking about a guy named Benson Boone.
Each episode goes deep into the biggest celebrity stories of the moment. And if you're still confused, we even have a weekly call-in episode where we answer the most burning celebrity queries.
Who Weekly airs twice weekly with brand new episodes on Tuesdays and Fridays. Listen and follow Who Weekly, an Odyssey podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.